on that basically graduated from Caltech with a BS in physics. He has a PhD in high energy physics from Stanford University and was on the research faculty of Harvard University. He ran 8 high-tech companies and holds patents for medical equipment, smart energy, and microelectronics. He is now, quote-unquote, retired full-time to providing public access to exciting and important scientific discoveries. He speaks at schools and universities. He also hosts an online radio show called Guide to Cosmos. And he always says you don't have to be a great musician to appreciate great music. And the same applies to science. He's a winner of the Pinnacle Achievement Award for Science. This new book was third printing in only 6 months of Can Life Merely Be an Accident? And I would like to welcome our next guest, Dr. Robert Piccioni. Did I say that right?
Great, Gary.
All right. Thanks. Welcome to the program, Doc.
Thank you very much. Thanks for inviting me.
Hey, you're very welcome. You know, a lot of people have kind of wondered, we're going to talk about Albert Einstein. And actually, you have a book out called Everyone's Guide to Atoms, Einstein and the Universe. That was a best science book, both in the USA News and in the 2010 International Book Awards, and is rated 4.9 out of 5 stars by Amazon. That's pretty good. So tell us a little bit about Mr. Albert Einstein.
Well, you know, most people think that Einstein must have had a great and easy life because, after all, he was chosen by Time magazine as the most important person of the 20th century. I mean, that's a pretty good deal. And, you know, his name is synonymous in our language with the word genius, so it's hard to imagine that anything could have been tough in his life. But actually, the truth is very much more interesting because hardly anyone failed more often in their life and faced more rejection than did Albert Einstein. So it's really a story of a man who never gave up on himself and never gave up on his dreams, even though he had so much trouble succeeding. And eventually, because he had this tremendous persistence, he solved some of the most difficult problems in physics and became the most famous scientist of all time. So it's great, you know, it's one of these great success stories that Americans love.
Tell us about some of his failures. You know, a lot of times we think if people are a genius, they've mastered everything. Not true with Mr. Albert Einstein. Tell us about some of his failures that he may have learned from.
Yeah, well, I think he failed every day of his life until he was 30 years old.
Wow.
He was very slow to learn to talk, and he got nicknamed Little Dopey. He was expelled from the second grade because he didn't pay attention in class. And the headmaster said, "This little boy will never amount to anything." And actually, the headmaster came pretty close to being correct. Einstein dropped out of high school, and he tried to get into a lower-level college, but he failed the entrance exam. When he did get admitted later, he ended up graduating with the second worst grades in the class, and he even failed a course in physics.
Wow.
And he had sort of been made a point of insulting all of his professors publicly as he went through school. And so by the time he graduated, he had these really terrible grades and horrendous references. I mean, none of his professors would say a good thing about him at all. His math professor called him a lazy dog.
You think that maybe is why he failed in physics and things? He just didn't apply himself at the beginning?
I think he wasn't interested in what they had to tell him. I think he was more interested in, you know, the mysteries of science itself and the beauty of nature and so on, and he just didn't pay attention. He didn't go to classes if he didn't think they were interesting, and he didn't do the homework if he didn't want to, and all these things. Some people nowadays think that he might have had Asperger's syndrome, which is a form of autism. So he really didn't connect with people very well. He was really wrapped up in his own ideas and very internally focused. Anyway, he couldn't get a job after graduating. He was the only member of his graduating class who couldn't get a position anywhere. He applied at every job from Norway to Italy, throughout Europe, every university, every technical institute. He applied for every position in math, every position in physics that he could find. And he was summarily rejected by every one of them. And this went on for 2 years. He was not even offered a single interview for any of these jobs. And the guy would have been living on the street if it hadn't been that he had some wealthy relatives who would periodically give him a handout. So he was really down and out. And he was finally saved, you know, just by luck. The father of one of his friends had some juice in the Swiss government, and he got a job opened with Einstein's qualifications in mind. You know, the job description was written for Einstein. So Einstein strode into the interview, and he was super confident that everything would work out because, after all, this is a setup. And he failed the interview. So the interviewer rated Albert Einstein technically unqualified to be a government clerk.
Wow.
I mean, how, you know, that's pretty dramatic, right?
Absolutely. And he was also a man, they said, that could not tie a tie or something like that, or his shoes.
Well,
you
don't see him wearing a tie very often. He did wear a tie when he was in the patent office, but after that and when he became famous, I don't think he ever wore a tie again when he had a chance. Yeah, no, he never wore socks. He never combed his hair, of course. All the pictures that you see of him in later life are with his hair that looks like it just suffered a nuclear explosion.
Or that he had just walked outside here in Wyoming.
I see. And grabbed onto a lightning bolt or something.
Yeah,
right?
Pretty much. I mean, the wind's blowing here today, and you get the Wyoming special on days like this, and so people from the Wyoming area, they know what we're talking about. As far as when was kind of a breaking point for him? I mean, was he in a private lab? He was finding things out. I mean, what was kind of a breaking point for Albert Einstein?
Well, you know, it's interesting to talk about his lab. The guy never did a single experiment in his entire life. He never made a serious observation or scientific measurement in his entire life. And the only tools of the trade that Einstein ever used were a pad of paper and a pen. And so all these discoveries that he's famous for and these great accomplishments that he made really came from his own thoughts. He didn't need to go out and make observations of the universe or do experiments. He just thought about things and figured out the way they should be and what made sense. And he had this tremendous intuition about how nature should be. And so in 1905, which is, you know, more than 100 years ago, he published 5 spectacular scientific papers. And he solved all the open issues of physics of the day. And he revolutionized the entire field of science. And nonetheless, no one said a word. No one said, that's a great paper. No one said, come give us a talk. No one said, come work for our university and teach our students. Here's a job. Nothing. So he had this tremendous accomplishment. And because he was a nobody, he didn't have a PhD. He didn't have a job at a technical institute. He wasn't a professor of university. Because he was a nobody, no one paid attention to him for years. And so finally, he tried to get a job as a high school physics teacher, and he was rejected. He
Wow.
wasn't even offered an interview, even after he had made all these great discoveries. They didn't consider him competent to teach physics. So it took 4 more years, sort of, you know, just because he kept plugging away, before he finally got a junior professorship at a University of Zurich, which wasn't really a very prominent place at the time. And now he's 30 years old. And he sort of worked his way up from there. So, you know, he was a guy who could work on a problem night and day for 10 years, and he just would never quit, even though it didn't look like he was making any progress. It didn't look like he had any chance to succeed. And that's the only reason that he did succeed, because he had this tremendous perseverance, which is sort of a lesson for all of us, because, you know, nowadays people think, you know, they're used to TV and other forms of what we might call instant gratification. And if it doesn't happen right now, we give up. You know, we don't have that staying power that maybe people used to have.
But not so with Albert Einstein. And we'll be talking a little bit more about Albert Einstein with Dr. Robert Piccioni right here on Across America. We'll take your phone call if you want to call in, 632-6500. And we'll be back right after this. Don't you dare go away. And it's 48 past the hour. You're back with Gary Freeman here on Across America and our special guest, Dr. Robert Piccioni. Welcome back to the program, sir.
Well, how are you?
I'm doing great. Now, we've been talking about Albert Einstein. One of the funny little things about Einstein that kind of has intrigued me, I guess, is the fact that he was a war pacifist, yet he urged FDR to build the atom bomb.
Yeah, that's an interesting story. He had grown up hating militarism, and he was very strongly against the militaristic policies of Germany at the time that he was growing up. In fact, he left Germany and denounced his citizenship so he wouldn't be subject to the draft. But as the Nazis came to power, Einstein realized that sometimes, you know, the good people have to fight against the bad people, and then you need an army. So he realized the necessity of there being military forces that could suppress people like the Nazis. And he had heard through his physics colleagues that remained in Europe that the Nazis were trying to build an atomic bomb.
Known as the Manhattan Project, I do believe, wasn't it?
Well, that was the American version.
Okay, yes. The American version of it. Okay,
yeah,
gotcha.
The Nazis were building this weapon of mass destruction, and Einstein wrote a letter to President Roosevelt urging him to have the United States working on the same project so that the Germans wouldn't get it before we did. And, in fact, that's exactly what Roosevelt did. And just as you said, it was called the Manhattan Project. And we did get the bomb before either Japan or the Germans did. And they were both working on it.
Back in the 80s, he actually had made a movie about that, I believe, called the Manhattan Project.
Yeah, I haven't seen that movie, but I'll bet they have. I mean, it's one of the more dramatic events of the war. And, you know, I would say it ended the war, right?
Yes. Now, there was something about this guy's brain. Is it true they've got it pickled in a jar for years and years, and they actually drive it across the country and show it off and things like that?
Yeah. What happened when he died, he left his brain to science. The body was cremated, and the family disposed of it somewhere. They never said what they did with it. They didn't want people coming to gawk at his grave. Mm-hmm. But the brain was removed, and pieces of it were distributed to various scientific labs. And the idea was to find out what made this guy so smart. And they never did find out anything particularly dramatic about his brain. I mean, you know, it wasn't bigger than anybody else's or something. He was missing one of the folds of the brain. You know, we have a lot of folds that
right.
give the brain more surface area. He was missing one of those folds, and that made his visualization center a little larger and his verbalization center a little smaller. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why he didn't relate to people as well, because he didn't have that speech capability that most other people do, perhaps. But he was very good at visualizing. He also had more of the cells that support your neurons. There are cells called glial cells that provide the nutritional support for the neurons themselves. He had a lot more of those type of cells, but he didn't have more neurons than we do. So, it still remains a mystery why this
Sure.
guy happened to be so smart. But eventually, after several decades, I don't know, 30 or 40 years of puttering around with the pieces of his brain, all those pieces were returned to the family, and they disposed of them in the same way that they had with his body.
Now, what were some of the things that Einstein discovered back when he was alive, or some of the mm-hmm. calculations or some of the problems that he had solved and some of the ideas that he came along with that have actually have helped bring about some of the blessings that we have today, i.e. DVDs, cell phones, satellites,
yeah.
and things of that nature?
Yeah. Well, you know, Einstein made a whole array of amazing discoveries and contributions which really permeate throughout our society. I mean, there's hardly anything you can do today that's not based on some technology that Einstein developed. He solved the mystery of something called the photoelectric effect, and that's the basis for solar cells and the CCDs and all your digital cameras and video cameras. And CCDs are used in every modern telescope. So all of that's due to Einstein. He also developed the laser, the theory for the laser. He never actually built one, but he showed how it could be done. And now lasers are nearly ubiquitous in our society.
Absolutely.
I mean, they sculpt our cornea if you have LASIK surgery. They do retina reattachments, glaucoma surgery. Heart surgeries are done with lasers. They read our DVDs and our CDs. They carry our telephone and internet communications through fiber optic cables around the world.
Not to mention LASIK surgery, which has been a blessing to many, many people, not having to wear eyeglasses anymore.
Right. So, you know, it's the core ingredient in lots of medical equipment and also industrial equipment and military equipment. Lasers are essential in our society. And he was also responsible for the GPS system. So, well, his theories of relativity are essential to the proper operation of the GPS system. So without Einstein's theories, your GPS that's in your car or wherever, your navigation system, would have an error of 6 miles a day that would be cumulative. So if you got home to where you wanted to go on Monday night, you'd be in the wrong city on Tuesday night, and by the end of the week, you might be out in the ocean. So this GPS system really would be worthless if it wasn't for Einstein's theories and the corrections that are made. And this is basically because Einstein said that time is relative. It's not the same everywhere. Time doesn't flow at the same rate everywhere. So he said that time in these satellites that are above the Earth is actually running faster than time on the surface of the Earth.
We're talking with Dr. Robert Piccioni here on Across America Today. He is a physicist, and we're talking a little bit about Einstein. Dr. Piccioni, I would say that probably one of the most popular, well-known inventions or ideas that Einstein came up with was E equaled MC squared or MC two.
Mm-hmm. MC squared, yes.
And basically, that's the very basis of a lot of things. Can you explain that a little bit for those in our audience that may not know?
Well, you know, that's going to be the basis of energy systems that are going to solve so many of the problems facing society today. What Einstein is saying is that energy is a form of mass is a form of energy.
Which are interchangeable to a certain degree, is that right?
Yes, right. So he's saying the same thing that we already know about money. So we all know that there are many different forms of money. There are dollars and euros and pesos and yen and so forth, and we know we can convert from one form of money into another. There's some exchange rate, right? If you go to Japan, you're going to convert to yen, and there's some exchange rate. Well, Einstein is saying basically the same thing in his equation. He's saying that mass is a form of energy, heat is a form of energy, many other things are energy. And he says you can convert mass into these other forms of energy according to his equation, which gives you the exchange rate, which is C squared. So C is the speed of light through empty space. It's a huge number. It's 671 million miles an hour. And C squared is C times C. So that is a very huge number. And so Einstein is saying that even a very small amount of energy will give you a huge amount even a very small amount of mass will give you a huge amount of energy. Now, what that boils down to is if you had a single penny, a U.S. penny, and you converted the mass in that penny into useful work energy, it would have the same amount of energy as we now get when we burn 2 million gallons of gasoline.
And actually, I think investigators now, especially, I think there were some scientists out in Oxford University that are now investigating in their efforts to develop energy-efficient, eco-friendly refrigeration, because the Einstein refrigerator basically used no moving parts, no electricity, or harmful gases.
Right. That's another of his inventions that he had a patent for, was this special kind of refrigerator. But, you know, we could take it even further. If we wanted to develop energy for our society that isn't going to pollute and isn't going to cost nearly as much as we have now, then Einstein has showed us a way to do it. All the people in the United States together use an amount of energy that corresponds to 1 ton of mass every year. In other words, if we could convert 1 ton of mass into useful work energy, we'd supply all the energy all Americans use in a year.
Absolutely. That's wonderful. So basically, if they want to get more information on that, Robert, they can get Everyone's Guide to Atoms, Einstein, and the Universe. It was selected by the Best Science Book by both USA Book News and the 2010 International Book Awards. Is rated 4.9 out of 5 stars by Amazon Reader. Once again, Everyone's Guide to Atoms, Einstein, and the Universe by Dr. Robert Piccioni.
Right.
All right. Well, hang tight with us, and more to come after this. Don't you dare go away. You're listening to Across America here on Cheyenne's number one news talk, KGAB. We'll be back right after this.